Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Building a house takes a lot of effort. Our subject today is build your house right. Praise God. Build your house right. And the Bible text is from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like to who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Amen. This is a simple teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples. Everyone who was in Sunday school knows the story. What is more important is the application of it. Obedience to Christ is not optional. It's about genuine conversion and discipleship. Some accept Christ, but leave it for later to declare whether he should be their Lord or not. If you profess a connection to Jesus, but fail to obey the commands and teachings, you're a hypocrite. Your religious life will finally collapse. Many verses in the New Testament explain that saving faith has to do with obedience, and unbelief has to do with disobedience. The nature of a tree determines what type of fruit it will have. If a person has received a new nature through faith in Jesus Christ, that new nature will bear good fruit. We are saved by grace through faith, apart from works. But the faith that saves always results with good works. Many Christians are committed to becoming a disciples of Jesus. They call Lord, Lord. They publicly confess Jesus as their Lord. And they say, "I have submitted my life to Christ." But their actions don't match their words. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? The genuineness of your discipleship commitment will be demonstrated by the extent of your obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ. True disciples obey his words. Sometimes we are tempted to think that obedience doesn't matter. Why should I obey Christ? I know myself what I have to do. But the benefits of obedience are numerous. There is the benefit of eternal life. There's the benefit of loving and glorifying God because his great love is for us. There's the benefit of answered prayer and experiencing God at work in our lives. There's the benefit of living the abundant life that God has prepared for us. Obeying God provides protection from life's storms. Jesus is telling us the story of two men who were building houses. When the rain came and the floods rose, the house built on rock was able to stand. It was firm. But the foolish man, he built his house on sand and it collapsed. Even most Christians, they know this story, but they don't really know that what separates the wise man from the foolish one. The first thing is to come to Jesus, coming to him daily as his disciples. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, that person must take up his cross daily and follow me." Are you coming to Jesus every single day? Are you coming before Jesus praying, asking, seeking to learn from him every day? If you want to weather the storms of life, but you're not coming to the Lord for instruction and training in righteousness every day, it's not going to be very long before your life will collapse. Your house will come crashing down faster than a house of cards when a hurricane strikes. It's amazing how many Christians think they can live the Christian life without ever coming to Jesus Christ for their daily lives, without performing the spiritual works, without ever building the Word of God into their lives. It cannot be done. It can't be done. The storms of life are too strong. Do you want to know why so many Christians turn away from God, reject Jesus Christ as Lord, and fall so easily to temptation and sin? It's because they have not been coming to the Lord every day. So it's so simple. It's so important and so much neglected. Jesus continues that this man is doing more than just coming to him. He hears what Jesus says. He hears what Jesus says. Hearing is not just hearing a sound, but it's hearing with understanding. It's disheartening when you preach in a church. I've experienced that, where people just fall asleep. Some even snoring. As soon as you start preaching, they switch over to the sleeping mode. And sometimes people are not with you at all. Where is a hearing with understanding? Where is a hearing with understanding? Where is the Bible reading with understanding? Reading with understanding is always more helpful than and more beneficial than just reading the Bible without understanding. Some people, they read the Bible, but they never understand. That is why it is advisable to develop good Bible study methods and obtain good Bible study materials. This is also why it's advisable to approach your Bible with pen and paper in hand. That's why you should come to the church with notebook and pencil, ready to write down. Because the expectation of taking notes causes our brains to be more alert, to take it more serious, and writing down what has been said. Pen in hand and notebook on your lap tells the brain it's better you listen. You better understand. It's important. The direction the Bible gives you about life and how to interact with God, how to get to heaven, how to have a good marriage, how to have a good family life, it's all given. The direction is being given. Many approach the Bible with less respect than they treat their shopping list. approach the word of God, seeking to hear it with understanding, is this wise man, what the wise man does. If you don't, you're abandoning the way, the very thing that God has provided to help you weather the storms of life. If you refuse to hear and understand God's instructions, there is nothing else that can help. You're already sunk before you even put the boat into the water. Don't think you will find your way through life without the word, the guidance of the word. You have to understand God's instructions to have a good life. The first descriptive term in Luke 6:47 was coming to Jesus. The second is to hear what he says. And what is most amazing about this second descriptive term is that it is also true of the foolish man. The foolish man could very well be a Bible expert. He can be a Bible teacher. He can be a pastor who's preaching the word every week. But you have to understand the words. Not to understand the word is not just foolish. If we refuse to ever hear and understand the word of God, we're not just foolish, we are insane. We have to hear the word of God correctly and understand it. Even a foolish builder hears and understands the word of God. So what is separating the two builders if even the foolish builder hears and understands? This descriptive term that separates the two builders is the third item in Luke 6:47. The wise builder comes to Jesus, hears his word, and does what Jesus says. As important as the coming and the hearing is, Jesus' emphasis is on the doing. Here is a key to weather life's storms. You come to Jesus for instruction. Hear what he says. Then go and do it. Don't just hear, go and do it. It is this obedience to the word that keeps your life safe and well protected through the storm. Where would Noah be if he would have heard God's command, his warning about the coming flood, the instruction that he got to build an ark, but he didn't follow God's instructions? What if he decided to make a smaller ship because it would be finished sooner? What if he decided not to pitch and seal the wood? He would have gone down with the rest of the world and we wouldn't be here. We can all thank Noah for following and obeying the word of God. Precisely. Obedience is the key that keeps you strong in life's storms. It is this obedience of God's word that Jesus illustrates in Luke 6:48. The one who does what God's word says is the one who builds his house on the rock. Luke 6:48, it says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Just as there were three descriptive terms for the man, there are three descriptive terms for his construction. Before he constructs the house, he digs deep. He lays the foundation. And upon this foundation, he can build the building. The castle elites in Germany has been in the hands of the same family for 800 years. But the current person who is living there, he says there is always something that has to be repaired continuously. You never finish. If you want your house to stand against storms, you always have to fix something. You have to change something so that it will be strong. Praise the Lord. Something always you have to adjust in your life to be able to be strong. Sometimes the things you have to do are not fun. Sometimes it doesn't thrill you at all. Cleaning doesn't thrill you. Repairing doesn't thrill you. You just want to live and have luxury. But people may even criticize you in what you're doing. Because you never accomplish, you never get on, you cannot see the building growing. And they criticize you. What are you doing? You're just sleeping. But don't let such comments stop you from digging deep. Don't let people pressure you into building too fast. We want to dig deep. We want to build a strong foundation. I'm helping you to build this strong foundation through the Word of God. Before you improve your life, before you can improve your life, you've almost got to destroy the way it was before. That bad habit, is there a bad habit in your life? Dig it out. Is there sin in your life? Tear it out. All those boulders that stop you from continuing in the way of spiritual progress, remove them. This is the first step in doing what Jesus says. Before you can have good elements into your life, you need to get rid of the old ones, of the bad elements. You must repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Purify your life. Only when you dig deep into the soil of your life, you can remove those boulders that stop you and obstacles that stop you. Remove them out of the way and dig deep. And then you can lay the foundation. This is a second step to building. After the hole is dug and the obstacles are removed, then the foundation can be laid. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says that no other foundation can be laid other than which is Jesus. No other foundation but Jesus. We see in Luke chapter 6, verse 48, that the foundation is laid upon the rock. But we also know that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the cornerstone on which the church is built. In Luke 6, he is both the rock and the foundation. So he's the rock that was already in the ground. It was laid there by God. You didn't put the rock into the ground. It's already there. When the foundation is laid, it becomes one with the rock. But the foundation is something you lay down on top of the rock. So how do you lay down the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, onto the rock, which is also Jesus Christ? The same way that you build a house. You take your concrete, you pour it into the hole that you have dug deep or into the forms that you have made. In digging the hole, you remove certain things from your life. Now you fill the holes with Jesus Christ. Where you used to spend time with social media, you fill it with reading about Jesus. Where you used to like to talk to friends, you talk to Jesus through the Word. If you do not fill the hole with Jesus, things will get worse than ever before. In Luke 11, Jesus talks about a man who had an evil spirit, and the evil spirit was cast out, and the evil spirit walked through different areas. Then he came back to see how is a place where I used to live. He finds a place clean, swept, and empty. That's the point, empty. So the spirit goes and takes other spirits with him, and they go and occupy the place. So when you remove bad habits out of your life, sinful tendencies in your life, you dig it out, you confess, and you repent, you better fill that hole with something else, or soon your life will get worse. You never get rid of sin in your life unless you fill it with Jesus Christ. Get rid of it. Dig it out. Uproot it. Then fill that area with the concrete of Jesus Christ. Love him. Learn from him. Live with him. Let him build you, your life through his word. That's the final step in the construction process. After digging deep and laying the foundation, now you can start to build the house on top of that foundation. The house, of course, is your life. Your life is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. It will be good, firm, strong, solid house because it has a good, firm, strong, solid foundation. It is built up. It's built up as you follow the plan that Christ laid down in the Bible. The wise builder does what Jesus Christ says. When a storm comes at the end of Luke 6:48, we read in Luke 6:48, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Once the house is built by obeying Jesus Christ, it's able to stand against the storms of life. Not because it's a strong house, but because the foundation is strong. You may face storms in your life. Jesus said, in this world you will always have trouble. So if somebody says, I become a Christian, you never have troubles, you know he's lying. Because Jesus said, trouble will come. Don't think that will never happen to you. It will happen. And if you're not prepared, your life will crumble under you. If you have built your life on Jesus and obedience to his word, then a storm comes. No matter how severe it is, your house will stand strong. You will stand firm. And why? Not because you are a strong person, but because of Jesus Christ. The end of verse 48 says that the reason the house stood firm was because it was founded on the rock. The person who is obedient to Jesus Christ stands against the storms of life. The opposite is true of the person who is disobedient. Verse 49 reveals that those who are disobedient invite destruction upon themselves. Luke 6:49, it says, "He who heard and did not obey, did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth or sand without a foundation, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the fall, the ruin of that house was great," or final. There are many similarities between the two builders. The second builder also heard. His failure was disobedience. The text says that he heard, but did nothing about it. The one who benefits most from the word is the one who hears it and does what it says. Since the builder heard the word, but did not do anything about it, it's described that he built his house on sand without foundation. It was too much work to dig deep. It was too much work. It was too much effort to build a foundation. Besides, you can save a lot of time, and quickly you can do it. And money you can save. We see what happened in Turkey when they had the earthquake. All the houses collapsed because they were not built in the proper way. So instead of laying a good foundation, that Christian is looking to the world. Beware of looking to the world to build your house. Parties, making money is more important to them than the things of God. Praying, oh, that's boring. Reading the Bible, so boring. And going to the church, it's a waste of time. But then the storm comes. Suddenly, the storm comes. After only the house with a good foundation stands, and the other has collapsed. Both have heard the word of God. They knew what counts in life. There is no fixing. There is no renovation that you can do to such a house. So what about your life? What about your life? Are you preparing for a disaster? Are you preparing for the storm? Did you dig deep for your foundation? Get rid of sin and the bad habits. Dig a hole in your life. Put out some of this sin, those roots and everything. Cast it out and lay a good foundation. Out with the old and in with the new. But put Jesus in your life where sin and bad habits used to be. Obey him, love him, serve him, and honor him. Do what he says. In this way, you will be able to build a house. You will be able to build your life that will stand in every storm. Amen.
Amen.